creating a neuro-inclusive work environment, creating awareness around how to be an effective manager of neurodivergent talent, which in essence means becoming an effective and strategic communicator, leveraging compensatory strategies when useful, and creating an environment where an employee feels comfortable disclosing and has the opportunity to contribute and be successful. And that's good business for everybody.
Hello and welcome to the REIT Report. I'm your host, Sarah Borgs from Quito. My guest this episode is Tracy Powell Rudy, Vice President of Corporate Engagement at Integrate, a nonprofit that helps organizations become neuro-inclusive employers. Tracy and her colleagues recently met with NAREIT to talk about neurodiversity in the workplace, and she's with me today to share her insights with the broader REIT Report audience. Tracy, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Sarah.
So, Tracy, first of all, could you give our listeners a brief overview of the mission of Integrate and how the organization got started in the first place?
Absolutely. So Marcia Shiner, our president and founder, had spent about 25 years in the financial services industry, most recently as the CEO of centrally managed businesses for Zurich Financial Services. And her son had been diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome at the age of 3. And like all parents on this path, she became a mini expert on all things autism. She also had the good fortune of an early retirement, and she had seen that there were more and more organizations focusing on support for autistic individuals themselves, but no one was focusing on the employers. And so she created our organization with its goal to help companies become neurodivergent and autism-friendly employers by launching sustainable and scalable autism hiring programs, basically to help employers become more neuro-inclusive. And I should probably define some of the language I'm using here for our audience, particularly around neurodiversity and neurodivergent and autism. Neurodivergent is a broad term that includes conditions like autism, ADHD, ADD, OCD, dyslexia, dyspraxia, just to name a few. And we are all actually neurodiverse. So we each think differently and process information differently. So we integrate, help organizations identify, recruit, and retain autistic and neurodivergent talent. And we do that with a four-pillar approach, which includes assessment, training and education, sourcing and recruiting talent, and onboarding support, primarily for the managers. And in the last few years, as we've seen an increase in awareness in this space, we've seen an increase in requests for our services, and we've placed over 130 candidates in internships or full-time positions in companies across the U.S. and in Canada, and we've trained thousands of employees at over 70 companies.
And you've just mentioned increased awareness. I wanted to ask you a bit more about that in terms of what trends you're seeing in society overall towards neurodiversity awareness.
That's a tough question for me to answer because I'm so invested in the space, but I can tell you that when I first started working in this arena, the autism employment space specifically, I was a volunteer at the time with Integrate, and this is about 12 years ago. And when I would connect with executives as part of my day job in retained executive search, I would speak with someone and ask them if they had any connection to autism. And I would say about one in every six persons had some familiarity with the term or they knew someone. Now I'd say it's about 85% of the people I speak to that have some sort of connection. And often during a training or a presentation that I'm giving, I'll actually have someone disclose that they themselves identify as neurodivergent. By the way, some of the reason for this increasing awareness in this space is undoubtedly the result of the focus that several large employers have had on recruiting neurodivergent talent. Some refer to them as their neurodiversity hiring programs. Others call them autism at work programs. And they've spoken publicly about the benefits of these programs. For example, Microsoft, SAP, Ernst & Young, JP Morgan Chase, they all report higher than 90% retention rate of their autistic staff. JP Morgan Chase actually reports up to 140% more productivity. And SAP specifically looks at employee engagement as a key metric. And they report that with every 1% increase in employee engagement, they see a $50 million revenue impact. But even with these programs and all the related publicity, we know that the unemployment or underemployment rate for these individuals is still unacceptable.
And that leads into my next question, which is about the general level of participation for neurodiverse individuals in the workforce. What is that level, and what are some of the key factors that are impacting hiring today?
So according to the CDC, as many as 1 in 4 individuals in the U.S. have a disability. And we know that 80% of these disabilities are what we call hidden disabilities. And only about 21% of people with disabilities are actually employed, compared to 65% of individuals without disabilities. Hidden disabilities are those that are not visible to the human eye. In the U.S., individuals with neurodivergent profiles comprise about 43% of those hidden disabilities. So if we're going to talk about autism specifically, according to the CDC, currently 1 in 36 8-year-olds are being diagnosed as autistic. That means there's about 1 million autistic individuals aging into adulthood over the next decade. Research shows that approximately 1/3 of autistic individuals attend some form of post-secondary education. However, 75 to 85% of those that graduate college are either unemployed or underemployed. And there probably are a myriad of factors that contribute to that. But if we consider the typical recruiting process in the U.S., it is, for the most case, a really social process. And we also know that data around recruiting suggests that 33% of recruiters will admit they make a decision on whether or not to move a candidate forward in the interview process within the first 90 seconds of an interview. Another 65% say they're not going to hire someone that doesn't make eye contact. And 40% felt that a lack of smile was a reason to not hire someone. So we know that autistic candidates can be very literal, black and white thinkers, and very honest. And if they read a job description, for example, that has the kitchen sink of requirements listed, and they don't meet 1 or 2 of those requirements, they'll self-select out. So when you think about all those statistics, you can begin to understand why the typical recruiting process might be challenging for some individuals on the spectrum, and why their employment outcomes are suboptimal. But what we do know is that through the education and training programs that we provide, that we can impact those employment outcomes.
And Tracy, how do neurodiverse individuals typically become aware of the work that Integrate's doing? And how do you work together to place individuals in positions where they can best thrive?
So while our mission is to turn that unemployment rate kind of upside down for neurodivergent individuals, our clients are actually not the neurodivergent individuals themselves, but their employers. So I'm always interested in finding executive champions and companies interested in reaching out to this untapped talent pool. And when we start to work with a corporate client, part of our process includes sourcing the talent. And we do that by reaching out to colleges and universities with autism support programs, as well as support groups or private practitioners, adjunct programs. And these are all organizations with whom we've forged relationships, and they're all across the U.S. and in Canada. And when conducting a search for our client to fill a role with a neurodivergent individual, first and foremost, we're looking for an individual that fits the role, who has the requisite skills for that open position and just happens to be neurodivergent. That said, we're always happy to have neurodivergent individuals reach out to us, and they can do so via our website, integrateadvisors.org. And they can and they should submit their resumes via the general resume submission feature. Similarly, we post any and all of the opportunities for which we are recruiting for our clients on our website. So neurodivergent individuals should frequently check our website as well. But the bottom line here is, though, that the more companies that focus on this, specifically on creating a more neuro-inclusive environment and having more neuro-inclusive practices, the more successful that they will be in attracting and retaining this talent.
Tracy, what are some practical steps that companies can take to become more aware of neurodiversity and to make their hiring processes more amenable to neurodiverse candidates? And at the same time, how do they signal the work that they're doing to the outside world to show that that neurodiversity is something that's on their radar?
Well, the first step starts with an assessment of the company's hiring and onboarding practice with what I call a neurodivergent lens. So I like to say it's like using Waze or Google Maps to plot a course to your destination. You cannot do that unless you know where you're starting from. So when we're working with a new client, we review their interview questions and their job descriptions, for example. We look at their interview processes. Do they engage in marathon interview days with the panel interviews, for example? And we look at the physical work setting, as many neurodivergent individuals can have sensory sensitivities. We find that the changes we recommend to our clients are, for the most part, minor adjustments in their existing processes, and in general are beneficial to many, if not all, employees within an organization. So given the incidence rate, you're already employing neurodivergent talent in your company, they're also an excellent resource. So many companies are establishing ERGs around neurodiversity. And of course, added to that, education and training, that's a key part of the plan as well.
And what about best practices for companies that are starting hiring programs or looking to work with a partner?
Well, for companies starting neuroinclusion hiring programs, there are a few best practices that we've seen in our experience. And the first one is to start small. We suggest starting with maybe 5 hires in a cohort, no more than 10. The other factor we talk about is to find volunteers. These are managers within an organization that are interested in working with this population. We suggest that you not voluntell anyone to be involved in a neuroinclusion hiring initiative. We also suggest you have a program manager. It doesn't have to be a dedicated full-time headcount, but it has to be someone who is responsible and accountable and is given the authority to facilitate some of the minor changes and suggestions and recommendations that are given during that process. Also, very important to identify an executive champion within the organization, someone who can facilitate commitment as well as provide funding to support the initiative as well. And last but not least, include the neurodivergent perspective in your planning. So within your organization, if you have individuals who have identified and disclosed, you definitely want to include them in part of that process. And if you're looking to partner with an organization to help you get started, which I obviously highly recommend, there are some questions that you should ask those prospective partners as well. For example, does the organization outsource or subcontract any of its work to other vendors? If so, who's responsible for managing that subcontractor, basically? Do they have consistent leadership in the organization? And does that leadership have corporate experience and an appreciation for how things work in the corporate arena? Also, does that organization have inclusive hiring practices themselves? So do they employ neurodivergent individuals within their own organization? What about at the board level of that organization? Does that organization provide training to your employees and what does that cover? Do they provide an assessment of your current practices, including the job descriptions, the interview questions, and the onboarding process? And how do they vet the talent? Are their candidates work ready? Do they provide you with a candidate profile so you know specifically what the strengths and challenges might be for an individual as they relate to maybe executive functioning or hidden curriculum or the sensory issues that I mentioned earlier? And last but not least, are they pushing in talent? Do they already have candidates that they're trying to find jobs for? Or are they actively sourcing candidates for you that fit the specific role that you're looking to fill?
Tracy, we've covered a lot of ground today, but is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience?
I know I spoke a bit earlier about citing the benefits of the larger employers who shared publicly about their programs. I think what I'd like to share is that neurodivergent individuals have a lot of strengths that they can bring to a workplace. We talk about attention to detail, creativity, loyalty, honesty, big picture thinking, or if we're talking about dyslexia, maybe strong 3D spatial reasoning, for example. And clearly, companies who are neuroinclusive see benefits in productivity and retention across the organization.
Excellent, Tracy. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Sarah. It was a pleasure.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode of the REIT Report, please subscribe or leave a review on your favorite podcast platform.